This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again on the Sue Free Show, and people ask me, what is the Sue Free Show about? Is it about pests? Is it about termites? And I say, no, 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 that's another part of my life. The Sue Free Show exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion? How about purpose? Maybe connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? Who are you? Look in the mirror and ask yourself, who am I? It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. So when you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? What an amazing, wonderful question. We have today with us a gentleman by the name of Eric Keener. And before Eric's relationship with Jesus, he spent life in the pursuit of, sex, drugs, and reputation. By the age of 14, he was well on his way, but it wasn't till he began stunt riding street bikes at the age of 18 that he found himself catapulted exactly where he was aiming, into the deepest and darkest pit of worldly pleasures. I don't know, can anybody relate? It was at this point that God grabbed a hold of him through the Christian community, and he was dramatically transformed into a zealous disciple of Christ. I like that word, zealous. His faith is evident in all aspects of his life as he spends his time living, loving, and sharing about Jesus. He has an amazing testimony of God always being with us, even when we are furthest away from him, and how much his grace abounds when we deserve it least. So, Eric, I haven't even said hello yet. So, hello, Eric.
Hey there.
Hey there. So, you're a young guy. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Yeah, 23. And you've been through the world of Knox, it sounds like.
You know, there's a whole range of good and bad. We'll be getting into that in a little bit. But, yeah, there's just a ton of life experience for the short years I've had so far.
Right. So, what was your life like before you had a relationship with Christ?
Lost. Well, there's a lot to say. I grew up in the church. My family was always a big part of it. But I think at that point it was just going to church and not really being the church. And for me, you mentioned the Knox. I grew up in hotels till I was about three with my parents before they finally made the split and lived in with my mom. And she was the one, thank goodness, for her passion. She kept me in going to private Christian schools, low income and stuff. We grew up really poor. But there was always just a part of me, as any young guy can relate with, that wants to get out and experience and stretch his wings. And around seventh grade, I moved out from living with my mom and started living with friends just because, you know, finances and the circumstance wouldn't really allow us to stay together. So anybody that would take me in did, and luckily a lot of good families were a part of that. Just a testament to people that want to help others when Christ is the center of their life. And that got me to live with a lot of different people's personalities, and it kind of made me learn to adapt. You know, some people you had to walk on eggshells, and others you could walk around in your skivvies, and, you know, not a whole lot of awkward relations. So after that, it kind of taught me how to be independent, which was a bad thing at such an early age because I wanted to use that independence. So freshman year of high school, I moved up with my father, who gave me some interesting words for a guy that grew up under Christian household. He says, you can have sex on the couch or in your room, just don't let me see you doing it because that'd be weird.
Wow.
So that was the mark of freedom and just where the path really started to go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
I got into looking up to dudes that, you know, were out in the parties and having pretty girls hanging around with them. And we, you know, everybody at some point looks up to someone similar. And so that was my pursuit. That's where I made that aim, like you said. I aimed for being one of those guys that was the popular, respected, or whatever popularity means at that stage in life anyways, and worked hard on getting there.
Right. How did you feel? Like, how was your insides feeling during that time? How are you feeling? Because you said you had an upbringing from your mother. You had an upbringing with Christian school. So was there a controversy going on inside of you, or was there no struggle inside? Was there a battle going on or not?
No, it was huge. I mean, borderline schizophrenic. I lived such a duplicitous life. I had a MySpace that had all of my party friends, and I had a Facebook that had all of my family and Christian buds. And I knew what I was doing. It was a huge internal struggle. There was an aspect of, like, yes, I really do want to pursue all of this knowledge that I accumulated through going to Christian schools, and I wanted to have that righteous life. But my flesh, everything else inside of me said, no, you want to go out and have some fun.
Right. I'm seeing, you know, even right now as a mother listening to you, and I'm picturing you as my child, and I'm picturing what you had to go through and all of those hard knocks that you went through. But your mother, you know, gave you that foundation, and it says, you know, train them up in the way they shall go, and they will not depart from it. Well, you departed from it, but not really. And that gives the parents hope, the parents that have children that have strayed, or that, you know, they've got a rebellious side of them, or they're just trying to find their way or who they are. You know, it gives them hope as we move forward in this conversation. It's going to give them even more hope because, you know, when you're on the radio, it's an interesting thing because we can't see our audience. And you've even said before we got on live, you said it's different because you usually share your testimony to people that are right there in front of you, and you base it on what the situation is. And on radio, you can't do that. You don't know who's listening. You don't know what your audience is. So you have to really lean on the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide what you want to share. And I know that we're both depending on that right now, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to do, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
Right. So did you feel God's presence during this time? Did you feel him there for you, or did you just put him in a corner or a closet somewhere? And, you know,
I don't know if I felt it. I knew it at the time. And hindsight is always the best way to look at how it worked out. Seeing where I came from, a really shy guy. I mean, I couldn't even talk to girls, let alone guys in high school. Just the shyest as they come, total introvert. And through all of that partying and stuff, I through working for years on becoming that fun, outgoing personality, I really was able to kind of stretch my wings socially. And through that idea is I can see the Lord preparing me even when I was furthest away from him. He never left my side. And at the time, I don't think I felt him. I felt a lot of conviction and a lot of guilt. And it was just a sense of I prioritized everything under the sun as opposed to anything above it. I just was so focused on me and lust and just what my flesh wanted me to do, that there wasn't any way to really feel that connection. But
Eric,
I'm
sorry, but you have to repeat what you said about the under and the over, because I've never heard that said before, and I don't want people to miss that.
Okay.
What did you just say? You focused more on?
I was focusing on everything under the sun. You read through Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is all about everything under the sun is vanity, you know, it's all vain, and he says that specific phrase. It's interesting because he's like, anything that is under God is pointless. There's no point to it. if everything that we're supposed to do is supposed to be for the glory of God, anything that is under God is vanity. And so for me, I was focusing on everything that I wasn't supposed to and not focusing on the only thing I was supposed to.
Above the sun.
Above the sun.
That's great. I've never heard that before. So after, you know, did something happen? Was there a life-changing experience that happened? Or was it the Lord, you know, just leaning on you little by little? Or was there something that happened to where you changed back into pursuing God?
There was a defining moment.
But, okay, I saw the catapulting, and I, you know, what happened?
There was a specific time, only it's kind of opposite of what you usually hear. You hear about, you know, everybody hitting rock bottom and getting on their knees because the only place they could look was up. There's no more going down. My situation was exactly opposite. I started stunting street bikes, motorcycles, doing all the tricks and stuff. Got into a gang, I guess. It was a crew of people that did that, both professionally and recreationally. We were filming and doing shows and competitions and stuff, and you get a bike and literally the people kind of come flocking, and so that was with a catapult that threw me into that dark area of my life. It was fame and everything that I was hoping for. You know, we partied hard. You heard the sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of thing, and literally got to a point where it was just the top of that game. I could not do more drugs or drink more. I got into the worst kind of drugs you can imagine, very heavily. There was no more drinking. My party trick for coming into parties was pouring 13 shots of something, and 13 is the max I ever got to, but drinking it all at once. Like, you couldn't. And then there was the girls aspect. With the crew, we had a clubhouse. We had people over there all the time. It was a major, constant party. And so I got to the point, it wasn't rock bottom, at least not from my perspective. It was kind of rock top.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do more. And I had always strived for the last, you know, decade, this, I want to do more. I want to have more fame, more pleasure, more respect, whatever. And I got to the point where there wasn't really any more room. So I saw how miserable I was. I saw how miserable my friends were. And thank God for my mother's devotion to keeping me, like you alluded to, where I needed to be, because that doctrine was on my heart. It just wasn't being focused on. And
mm-hmm.
So I got to rock top, and that was that defining moment. I needed to try to get out of it, because I knew there was no more fulfillment in it. There was no fulfillment in the first place, but I was searching for it and found that there was absolutely nothing there. I was talking about Solomon a little bit earlier, and in Ecclesiastes, he says, I've tried wisdom, you know, I've done all that and realized it was useless. So I tried pleasure, too. He says he experienced all the pleasures the world had to offer, and they were useless. They were meaningless. They were vanity. And that was one of the first verses I ever related to on a very personal level. I was like, oh, I got you on that one, man.
Wow. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. And if you have to leave your car and go inside, don't worry about it. You can go and you can turn on your computer and you can punch in KKLA.com and just click on the button that says Listen Live, and you can get back on and listen to the rest of the show at the comforts of your home. So no problem there. Also, you can go to Sue Free's, one word, spelt like fries, SueFries.com. And if you know somebody that you feel this would help to hear this podcast, you can tell them about it. They can click on SueFries.com and listen to this show later. So don't be worried about calling somebody right now and having that person listen right here, right now. They can listen later. That's the good news. We also have helping hands and TV video, all types of things on SueFries.com. So make yourself a guest on there and click on there, and you can help others that can't be listening right here, right now. I'm sorry for that commercial, Eric, but I have to do that.
No problem.
So after you began pursuing a relationship with Christ, what were some of the stages you went through?
Well, I think it's an important distinction to say, you read earlier that it was the Christian community that kind of surrounded me. When I was backing out,
Amen,
of everything I had spent years getting myself into, I stopped partying as much, which meant stopped hanging out with the friends, the only friends that I was really connected with. Tried to back out of the lifestyle choices I'd made too. There was I spent 2 years trying to quit some really nasty drugs, trying to back away from all the girls and stuff like that, and started putting myself back into church and just getting into some community groups. And it's amazing how the Lord works, because there were people there the moment I chose to start backing out. There were people that were like arms wide open, people I'd never really met before, but they were ready. And one gentleman in particular, you spoke with him last week, Chaz, started meeting with me on a weekly basis, and just getting to know me, and you know, starting to be a little bit of a mentor, a discipler. And it wasn't until real truth was being spoken into my life that that the changes started happening. I remember a point where he's like, you know, we've been meeting for a while now, and I see that, like, where your heart's at, and he says, but you're still doing all this stuff that you don't want to do. You're still doing drugs. You're still sleeping with girls. What, you know, where are you at? Because that's not, you know, your heart's saying one thing and your actions are saying something else. So he threw down a little bit of a church discipline deal on me, and it felt like a slap in the face. He's like, you know, next week I don't think you should really show up to Bible study until you feel like you're ready to embark on the journey that you're talking about. And that's totally biblical. It was, I hadn't ever experienced that. I'd never even heard of it at the time. But when it says expel the immoral brother, it means it. And it was funny, because I went home that night, the very first day I heard that night. That was the transformation. Since that evening, never touched drugs again. It was hard. It's not like I just quit and everything was easy. I spent 14 weeks like puking on myself, all the withdrawals and stuff, and it was a lot of work and tears and sweat to get through that. But that was the real point that the Holy Spirit came in, and like, I figured for all of the girls that I had involved myself with, I'd have a huge problem with lust, and it turns out that it was like, nope, just removed. I got down on my knees and I was like, hey, I've tried for years to quit doing drugs. I've tried for years to quit sleeping around. I can't do it. And that's all there is to it. And it was that night that everything changed. So,
and you had the support of people that surrounded you. And how about the judgment thing? You know, people get worried that they're going to feel judged.
Oh, that was the best part of it. Until I started talking with Chaz, nobody knew about that second life I had.
Oh, you had that secret, that big secret?
Yeah, that was a big secret.
Chaz
was the first one I ever told about it, and I just figured, you know, it'd be ridiculous to let anybody know about it. But
so
it's so liberating when you can say, hey, this is what I'm doing right now, and have people that genuinely love you, they'll come around you, that's really what made the changes, was me being open with what I was going through.
And you know, that's so true. And for those listening, since we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I would say the message that I'm hearing, and I'm hoping those listening are hearing it too, is that secret can keep you in darkness. And bringing the secret to light is what brings healing. But there's two things that have to happen there. First, there has to be a decision made by you. You had to make a decision to do something different. You had to make that choice. God doesn't make that choice for you.
Right.
Okay? So he gives us freedom of choice, and he's hoping and praying and just waiting for us to make him our choice.
That's right.
You agree with that? That's number one, is we need to make the decision. He gives us freedom to choose. Otherwise, we're dogs and cats and don't have that freedom of choice. So we have the freedom to choose, and he's hoping. He doesn't want one sheep to go astray. He loves all of us
equally. I heard that it put kind of metaphorically where there's a door, and the only side that has the handle is your side, and Jesus is knocking, and the only one that's going to open it is you.
That's very good. I haven't heard that. That's two new things for me. Thank you so much.
Well, that's there's a so lot awesome. More stories to come. Just wait until we get into some of the good stuff that happened recently.
Okay, we will get into that. So I'm trying to think of the other message that I wanted to give, is the freedom of choice. Oh, the safety issue. Those listening that, you know, we all are broken people. We all have issues. We all have things that we have to bring to Christ. And, you know, we all have things that need to be forgiven. And you know, it's nice to be forgiven by people. We know that we're forgiven by the Lord if we ask forgiveness. But I think the hardest thing sometimes for us in order to get complete healing is forgiving ourselves. I think that that's an issue that, that can really hold us back. And another thing that you said was that you make the decision to bring the Lord into your life. And there's a lot of people that say, you know what, I like drinking beer or I like cussing, so I can't receive the Lord because I need to clean up my act before I ask the Lord into my heart. And I'm saying that's a lie, because what God wants you to do is just choose Him. Let Him help you as God helped you, you know, change that. You thought you were going to have all of these issues, but the Lord took that away from you once you made that decision. You still said that you had to spend 12 weeks doing all the things, those yucky things, to get all of that decisions that you had made in the past to come out of you, to be pure, to get, you know, to get cleaned out. And that's sometimes just natural consequences for our actions, right?
Oh, totally, totally. That's reaping what we sow, definitely.
Right.
And you kind of touched on that. It's not about where we're at or what we're trying to get to. That was you asked about the stages that I went through. That was definitely one of them. Was that had to change. I went through church, hearing, you know, all about what I was doing wrong, or thinking about what I was doing wrong, and that created this sense of, well, I really need to be doing things right before I have that relationship. And that's what that says is that we're not saved by faith. It says that we're saved by works.
And that's not what the Bible says.
Not at all. You read Romans 5:2, and it says, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's by faith alone.
Not by works.
Not by works.
Right.
So that was a huge one that had to kind of be deprogrammed in me, because I only felt like a good Christian when I was doing good things. And if you focus on this relationship, you know, when you accept Christ, you become a saint. You are a saint in God's eyes. And it says you can't be perfect. So why, I mean, if we can't be perfect, there's no reason to beat ourselves up when we fall short. But what there is a need to repent, which literally means to turn around, to say, yes, I am a sinner, and turn around away from that, and really strive to love God, and by loving God, you're just really obeying His commandments.
And that's, we have a minute left before break. You mentioned something about self-control.
Self-control. Yeah, that's a big one. For me, that's the stage I'm going through right now. You get into Titus, and it gives you this idea of what an older man looks like. It says you're supposed to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. So I've gotten through, you know, really bringing my experience level up to where my knowledge was. I went through a lot of church and schooling for getting myself acquainted with the Bible, but it wasn't until I really embraced that relationship with the Lord that I was able to work through that, and now I'm just at a point of solidifying that foundation as I build on it.
That's wonderful. There's some, there's a little book that I have. It's called Bits and Pieces. And I like these little books. And there's one here. It says, there is more in us than we know. If we can be made to see it, perhaps for the rest of our lives, we will be unwilling to settle for less. I like that. And here's another one. It's pretty cool. I'll read it really quick. Risk taking. This is from Stephen Arterburn, New Life Every Day. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, Hebrews 11:1. I'm convinced that life without risk isn't much of a life. There is a certain comfort and predictability, but it's the kind of comfort you don't find when you're moving and growing. It's the comfort you find in hibernation. If you've followed sports or been around athletes, you know that an athlete regularly stretches his muscles to the point where they burn. Otherwise, these muscles become inflexible, unresponsive, and easily fatigued. The same is true with your soul. It must be regularly stretched. Failure to do so gives you comfort in the short term, but ultimately leaves you emotionally and spiritually unfit. Connecting, loving, and pursuing dreams all require risk and energy. Yes, you'll be stretched to the point of discomfort. Yes, you may experience some hurt and disappointment. But these are far better alternatives than the loneliness, boredom, and quiet desperation that accompany a life without risk. And then there's another saying, you've got to go out on a limb sometimes because that's where the fruit is. And that was by Will Rogers, which I like him a lot. So I just wanted to share those little things with you because they're fun. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
We're back with Eric Keener, and we're talking about his testimony of how instead of rock bottom, he was on rock top. Never heard that said before, because so often it's, you know, we're on the ground or on our knees and we're looking up. And in this case, Eric, at 23, is talking about how he was on the top of everything, but yet felt so empty. Something was missing, and he saw the road and didn't like the road, and he made a change. And he also said at recap that, you know, it was the Christian community and certain individuals that took time out of their busy schedules to do what God tells us to do, which is be there and walk alongside without judgment, creating a safe environment for a person to be real and to be honest, and to get the help and the encouragement and scripture that turns lives around. Would you agree that's kind of what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that that's kind of what we were saying, is that, you know, and also about, you know, mothers out there with their children, you know, train them up and they shall not depart. And even if they depart for a little while, they come back. And here is a story of exactly that. And is your mother still alive?
Yeah, she is.
Well, God bless her. What's her name?
My name is Denise Roberts.
Denise Roberts. Well, Denise Roberts, I'm sure you're probably going to be listening, because I'm sure your son's going to tell you. So bravo to you, Denise. It's hard being a mom, and so I applaud you, and I know God's very happy and pleased. So with that, what does living out your faith look like now, Eric?
Well, the first part of it was getting to know what I was doing. I got to hear a sermon by Ray Vanderlaan on discipleship. And if you look at the disciples back when Jesus first came to them and said, follow me, the way that it worked culturally was you go to school, you're in the Torah, or the first 5 books of the Old Testament. You actually have them almost memorized by the time you're 12 to 15 years old. So I look at me, how much scripture did I have memorized a year ago? Not very much. And then they go to a school that's, the ultimate goal is to become a disciple of the rabbi and eventually become a rabbi. And so if that's the biggest thing, like the best status you can have was to be a disciple as rabbi, they worked hard at it. And so anybody that didn't necessarily wasn't the star of their class had to go back to whatever the family trade was, fishing, masonry, and as we know, some of the apostles were out fishing when Jesus came to them. So it shows that they're like C-class students. They're average kids. They weren't anything special. And so you look at these guys fishing, and here comes Jesus to up them and says, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. That's like Michael Jordan coming to some kids playing street ball and saying, hey, why don't you come play with me? Of course, they're going to be like, yes, drop the ball, run to wherever he's going. So they drop their nets, they hop out of the boat, and they start following Jesus. And again, if you were a disciple at the time, you would spend every single moment of every day with the rabbi. You wouldn't want to miss a thing they're doing, because you want to learn everything that they have to share. And that all the way down to going into the bathroom with them to make sure they don't miss a prayer about how to wash your hands or something. And I remember one of the funniest things I heard in that sermon was they do have a prayer for that. It's, thank you, God, for the holes in my body.
That's another one I haven't heard before.
That's right. So it just shows like the devotion that it takes. It's not, if you saw Jesus get crucified and you see him breathe his last breath on the cross, and then a couple days later you're hanging out with him, that is huge. And I know even like Thomas had to touch the holes before he was like, well, before I really believe, I want some proof. And you wouldn't go through something like that. You wouldn't have something that miraculous happen and be like, oh, okay, yeah, Jesus, I just want to hang out with you maybe once a week. If I can make it to church, that's cool. I'll give you a text message saying good night, you know, have a good day tomorrow. That's not how something would work like that. And a disciple, it's a huge devotion to zealousness for wanting to be like your master. And that was the very first part of that turnaround for me, was just getting, I was in like 6 or 7 Bible studies a week. I was getting up at 4 a.m. on Thursdays, getting into the Bible, having a big Bible study Thursday evening. It was just a time to soak up everything. And man, I tell you what, it wasn't out of obligation. It was like my alarm would go off, I'd hit the cancel button and grab my Bible. It was just a passion for getting to know more.
So what you're saying is, you know, I asked the question, what does living out your faith look like? It sounds like what you're saying is that you immersed yourself in the Word. You wanted to know all you could know about your Savior. And that's what He calls us to do, spend time with Him.
Yeah, that's right. It's at that point, I'm not saying that's the only thing you should do, but at that point, that's what I needed to do. I needed to learn the commandments, because our greatest commission, Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So what does that say? I mean, everything that He's commanded me, I need to know what He's commanded me. I need to know how to live that faith out. I need to know how to go forth and make disciples. And so the first part of that journey was learning the commandments, and now it's experiencing and trying to solidify a steadfast life of self-control and love for the new us. The old me died just as Christ died and was resurrected with Him, and now the next step in that journey is going out and living it out. And this is where the fun stories come in. This is where my testimony of, I've been to jail. I've spent a while in juvie as a kid. I did drugs and all that. The first one that's always the most fun to share is, we had a group of people going over to an elderly lady's house to help her clean up her yard, and she had a little granny cottage in the backyard that had this kind of, from a distance, looked like a big guy. It turns out to be a tattooed up gal. And naturally, I'm just like, hey, let's talk to her, see what she's about. And she says, well, I would have done, she was kind of angry, she says, I would have done all of this, but I just got home from being away for a couple months. And to me, I know the lingo, I'm like, oh, so she was in jail. But I didn't want to make her think that I was thinking that. So I was just like, oh, that's cool, are you like visiting family or what? And she's like, no, it's prison, I was doing drugs. I was like, oh, sweet, I've been to jail. She's like, yeah, I was doing meth and stuff. And I was like, awesome, I totally know what you're talking about. I've been through all of that. And so we got into this story. We got to break down those walls. This testimony that I have is just, it's useful on so many levels just to start that conversation. It doesn't have anything to do with me. You know, it's not my testimony, but it's just the open door that I get to walk through in trying to relate with people and share Christ with them. So
you're using your life experiences to reach a level of empathy or connection. It's connection with this other person that most likely there's not a lot of people that probably that person could connect to. So, you know, you're using those experiences for whose glory? God's. And that's what we're called to do also. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. So that's an interesting story.
You've mentioned the mothers a couple times, yeah. and having hope for their children, even though they're kind of straying away. And mm-hmm. Just a couple days ago, I was in my storage unit getting out some camping gear, and there was a family there, a mom and 2 sons, that were, you know, they were getting all their stuff. It looked like they were moving entirely out of their storage shed right next to mine. And so I got to talking with them, and they're like, oh, well, this is all my daughter's stuff, and she's in rehab right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Rehab's kind of a bummer. I've been through that. And so that, again, opens the door, and we got to talk, and she was totally discouraged. She had that mindset of, man, my kid is lost. There's mm-hmm. no hope. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do. Everything's been done, and she's still making bad choices. And I was like, you know, I'm only 23, and there's a lot to say about me still being young and inexperienced, but I have been through this far away from parents and anything else that I could be, and coming back. And it's a true testament to the power of Christ.
So another message would be that be open for the opportunities when they arise, huh?
Oh, totally. I mean, every day, always. There's so many open doors.
Yeah, there's so much need out there. It's amazing. What are some verses that have been the most integral in your growing relationship with Christ?
I said kind of in the beginning, the Ecclesiastes was the first one. Worldly pleasure is vain. That's the first one that ever came to mind. But we did a big study on Romans and actually ended up like memorizing Romans 12. That was a big part of discipleship. Lots of memory verses. And Romans 12, in the beginning, it talks about being a living sacrifice. And so one of the first big ideas was what is a living sacrifice? And back in Old Testament, you would kill an animal and throw it up on the altar, and that would be like atoning for sin. But since we don't need to do that anymore because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, we're called to act as living sacrifices, dying to ourselves, but on a living sacrifice. It's like hopping up on an altar, and it's going to be really, you know, hot, hot, hot. mm-hmm. It's painful. It's like going through a crucible so that we can be purified. And that living sacrifice idea, that was a big one for me. It's what is my life? It's not mine. So what am I going to do with it? And the very next question to that would be, the next answer to what am I going to do with my life is love. That's a simple message that Jesus talks about. You look at John 13:35. He says, here's the new commandment I give you. This is Eric's paraphrased version. He says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. You guys got to love each other. He says, I've loved you, so you guys go out and love each other too. He says, by this, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And I love how Jesus talks, because he's like, love each other. No, I'm serious. For the second time, love each other. And mm-hmm. Hey, guys, listen to me good. This is, you need to love each other. So if that's a commandment that Christ gave us, then from there on out, it's just an idea of how to love each other. And that's, again, a part of the being a living sacrifice is relating to people on that level to share the hope that you have. I was so lost at the deepest, darkest part of that lifestyle. I knew I was unfulfilled, and fulfillment comes from Christ alone. And that's the hope. It's so good. I mean, having a parent, my father died in 2009. There's so much what some people would consider bad stuff that happens. That's really when you have a relationship with Christ, it's not bad stuff at all. It's like when James talks about be joyful when you go through these different trials, because it's going to produce perseverance, and there's so much good that comes out of what a lot of people consider bad.
So Romans, it talks about the joy in suffering.
Oh, right. That's Romans 5.
Romans 5, 3 through 5.
3 through 5. Mm-hmm. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
So, yeah, that's a really good scripture. I like that scripture a lot. So what kind of role has community played in your faith?
I think I've got, now being really involved with our community up here, I've got to see a lot of different aspects of it. The biggest one we've already talked about, and that's when they were just there for me, a lost person coming in. They already had their community, and they reached out and brought me in to what it looks like to be loved. When I was going through all those withdrawals and everything, withdrawals I could not move, literally. Like, I had to crawl to the shower, and I wouldn't even soap up or anything. I'd just turn the water on, let it hit me, turn it off, crawl back to bed. I had people that were surrounding me that were, like, helping me out with this. I've got to stay at somebody's house for weeks on end while they took care of me and fed me and stuff.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just the outreach of love right there? No judgment, just seeing a need and filling it. People say, you know, what can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do? You know, and there's a testimony right there, isn't there? What's the message right there?
Oh, it's be a good neighbor, be a good Samaritan. The people you least expect to, or that you most expect to help didn't help, and the guy you least expect to help helps, and he helps way beyond just picking you up and dusting you off. He cleansed your wounds, and then he paid copious amounts of money for you to rejuvenate and get back to where you need to be. And it was blind action that did that. He didn't know who the guy laying on the ground was. He didn't know anything about him. He just helped because he was a good neighbor.
What a wonderful story. And these people, they're people that, you will never forget them, will you? I mean, they're people that they've made a significant difference in one person's life. I don't know if it's just your life, or they probably do this on a regular basis, or maybe it's a one-time thing. Who knows? The point is when the need arises and you're right there, I know there's a lot of times where the Holy Spirit will just pull on your heart. And we can choose not to put the money where it needs to go, or we can choose just keep walking and try not to pay attention. But what does God call us to do? And we just need to listen to what God's telling us. And if you're the one that needs to do it, then do it. Earthly things that are going on, it's okay. They'll wait. They'll wait. But the person won't wait. The people. We need to help each other.
That's right.
And I just, I'm loving hearing this story. It's just heart-wrenching to me because here you are and, top of the world, but yet very empty inside. Very empty. And you were wise enough to look around you and see what you were seeing. And I would think that this biking group that you were in, not motorcycle bike, but bicycle group that you were in, it was like a family. It's kind of like, these gangs. They get into these gangs because they're wanting that family unit. And even if it's a negative family unit, it's a family unit.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's how the devil works because, he puts that family unit inside of us. He wants us to have that, I think. So you kind of had that, but it wasn't the right family.
We're created to be relational.
Relational,
so
that's right.
It's just a case of who are you bolstering these relationships with? Are they spent in unity with each other? The thing that unifies you is drugs or sex or which is completely unfulfilling and useless. Or are you spent living out like the Acts 2 kind of community role or the relationship role where you're literally selling the things you own? I mean, I've got a car. Would I sell it for somebody in need? That's the kind of questions that I ask myself all the time. They gave to each other as they had need, and I was the first-hand recipient of that. They gave to me their time and their food and their hospitality, and I've seen them do it countless times. I mean, I love being a part of this community because I get to be included in that kind of stuff now. We're not only is it how we affect others around us, people that come in and get to be a part of our Bible studies at night or our worship nights or every Tuesday night we have dinner. Dinner's at my house tonight. So we get to bring in our neighbors and treat the outside a certain way, but more so we get to love each other too.
And keep each other accountable too.
Totally. So it's loving each other. Like in Hebrews 10:24, it talks about spurring each other on. Hebrews 10:24, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, talking about the community rule, as it's a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you've been listening to this show and you know somebody that you feel this show could help, encourage, or direct, or change path, or whatever, you can direct them to thesuefreeze.com. It's Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And they can podcast it. And you just click on the podcast and it can, you can listen. So we have that available because we know that these messages are really good and that they can help people because that's what the show is about. It's about giving hope when you're feeling hopeless. And it's helping us realize that, you know what, we don't have to walk down this path by ourselves, that you need to reach out sometimes, because even like Eric said, is that he had the secret and he was living two separate lives. He had the MySpace and he had the Facebook. If you're into the social media, social network, he had two different lives he was leading. And when he was when he got to the point where he realized that the one life wasn't the real life and it wasn't the life he wanted to keep living because of maybe the upbringing or maybe, you know, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, probably both. But during that time, he made a decision. It was a conscious decision that Eric made to make a decision that that path that he was going down was not the right path for him. God created each one of us for a specific purpose. And God wants us to fulfill that purpose. Whatever that purpose is, you were created with special gifts so that you could conquer or accomplish that prize, you know, run the race, win the prize, you know, so that you can be all you can be for God. So it's up to you to make the decision. And, you know, when you've got those two little voices, you know, one voice on one shoulder and the other voice on the other shoulder, you know, you've got a choice on what voice you're going to listen to. And even if you've chosen the wrong one, it's not too late. As long as there's breath, there's hope. So I challenge you right now to turn your life around. And it's just one step at a time, one decision at a time. It's just even a thought process. Who you hang with. What you're putting inside your brain, what you're putting inside your mouth, what you're doing is the factor that's going to change your life forever. So, you know, reading scripture, praying, just asking God into your heart, all these things can make a change right here, right now. You don't have to wait till you get it all together because I got news for you. You'll never have it all together. You're never going to have it completely all together. So, you know, God says, come to me right now. Come to me right as you are right now. And he will walk alongside you and he'll give you the strength when you feel you don't have any. He says he won't give you more than you can handle. I know a lot of times in my personal life, it sure feels like it sometimes. But you know what? Because of those things, we become bigger and better and we can conquer more. And it's all for his glory. I'm getting on my little
Here we go and preach it.
Yeah. That's, you know, I just can't help it because I felt the Holy Spirit was leading me right then. So I just went with it. So I'm hoping that the listeners are listening, and like I said, SueFreeze.com podcast, so that you can share this message and this show with somebody that might need to hear it, or you know, if it's encouragement for a parent, encouragement for a child. So we're ending soon. So I want to, Eric, if there's anything that you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you right now, because you can't see your audience, but the Holy Spirit can come inside you and just say, you know, this is what I need to say. If you feel led right now, what, you know, go ahead and take this moment.
There's just one big, I have a huge heart for people that go to church. The ones that are there on Sundays and that's it. That's what I did for 20 years. I went to church and didn't live anything out. And it's not that I was living it out. It's that I didn't experience Christ in a way. My faith was not there because if I have faith, I will also have works. And it's this lukewarm idea. Just an idea of being soberly minded, able to judge yourself, figuring out where you're at. I mean, I would question, I'd challenge the listeners to just really take a genuine look at where they're at. Are they going to church or are they being the church? And I can say I was a church goer for a long time. I was going to soak up, but now I go to church to be a hand or a foot or you know, the gifts that we have, they're all different so that we can come to God, come together as a body and be unified for Christ's sake and glory. It's 20 years of really not doing very much versus the last, it's only been like a year, but it's been 1 year of what I want eternity to be like. And it's, I said earlier, would you have seen Jesus die and rise again and then just be like, cool, I'll hang out with you once a week? No way. It's like, I want to be your disciple. I want to know you so well. I want to have this relationship with you. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider this that I made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
That's really good.
One of the strangest things about having a relationship with God is it's insatiable. Even David in the Psalms, he's saying, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. So thirst for God, for the living God. It says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like parched lands. Like, he's soaking it up like dry like dry ground. And if that's not where your heart's at, I'd wonder what the reason for it not being there is.
Yeah, and you had some scriptures here, and I'm just going to read them off. If you feel that your relationship with God is lacking, you put that you suggest that the listeners read Psalm 42, 1 and 2, and Psalm 143, 6. It's been great, Eric, having you on, and I appreciate so much your insight and input. Join us next week for more of God's Word. I thank all of you for listening, and until next week, just realize that you are forgiven. All you have to do is ask the Lord into your heart, and He will be there for you. Until next week, have a blessed day. Be a blessing to someone. God bless.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.